Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. And they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
Hey parents, Greenlight is here to take one big thing off your to-do list, teaching your kids about money. With a Greenlight debit card and money app of their own, kids and teens learn to earn, save, and invest. You can send money instantly, set flexible controls, and get real-time notifications of your kids' money activity. Set up chores and put allowance on autopilot to reward them for their hard work. Then learn about the world of money together. Get 1 month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/podcast.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
What is happening? Welcome to the Plus Pitch Podcast, your morning pitching podcast from pitcherlist.com. My name is Nick Pollock. Today is April 4th, and yes, we are going to talk about baseball. We have Mitch Keller yesterday looking like a hipster already. 5.1 innings of 4 earned runs, 8 hits, 2 walks, and 5 strikeouts. It was against the Nationals. And this is something I talk about a ton in the preseason, and I'm talking about it again now because this is the time that it applies. It's make sure you don't have guys on your team that are just a little bit better in your mind than what's on the wire. Why? Because a guy like Mitch Keller, you don't know if he's actually going to be that great. And how amazing he could be is not this like 75% chance he's going to be that. If it's a 50% chance, half the time it's going to hurt you. So then if you take the average, which should be better than what's on your wire because you can burn and churn, then why are you holding on to Mitch Keller? He's not dependable at the moment. He just isn't. He just didn't do this against the Nationals, didn't do it last week. He gets the Tigers next, and I'm not saying he can't be good there. I'm not. If you want to hold on to Keller for that, go ahead. I'm trying to say, look, there are going to be other options on your wire for this weekend, I'm sure. And you should just play the burn and churn game. Get this idea of sunk cost out of your head and truly understand if a guy is on my team, what is my actual expectation of their performance moving forward? Do I think this is just a weird day? Or do I think that this is actually something that is innately a part of who they are? Mitch Keller is more of the latter. So do not hold on too long if there's things on the wire that's like, yes, I want Seth Lugo against the White Sox. Or yes, I want Casey Mize and Matt Manning, which is going on right now. So actually, when you're hearing this, Mize and or Manning could have done really badly or really well. But they were streamers for today, and I would have made that swap for Mitch Keller. And there are many others. Follow the streaming article on the site. Also, this is the Pitcherless Meetup Weekend. On Saturday at the Commissioner at 4 p.m. in Brooklyn, New York, we're going to be meeting up. It's going to be a wonderful time. Just 2 days away. I can't believe this, actually. In 2 days, I'm going to be hanging out with a lot of people from the staff, from the community. Come on by. I've done terrible communication about this. I'll post it more on Twitter in the next 2 days. 4 p.m. Eastern time at the Commissioner. We should probably be there until like 8 p.m. or something like that. If you're curious about it, you can obviously just tweet at me as well. But yeah, I'll be there for a good while, hanging out, watching baseball, doing all the fun stuff. It's always a great time every year, so come on by to the Commissioner in Brooklyn, New York. It's in Park Slope at 4 p.m. Eastern Time this Saturday, April 6th. It's going to be great. All right, so we have Nathan Eovaldi going 7 innings, 0 runs. Everything is cool there. By the way, the Rays, are they a good offense or not? I got an email about someone saying that maybe the Rays aren't that good, and yeah, maybe they aren't. Something to think about, and I might be actually adjusting them to being an average offense on Wednesday, but maybe it's just too soon to make that assessment. Logan Allen came through as our stream pick of the day. I am 7-0, and I think that's more of a testament to the lack of parity in baseball right now, where there are some, just some really bad offenses. So we have these guys who are more on the back end of rotations, and we're also able to be started early in the season against those bad lineups. So like Gerrit Crochet and Frankie Montas were the streaming options on opening day, shockingly. And they had some great matchups, and that worked out, for example. But we have like Tanner Houck and Garrett Whitlock. We're at the end of it. Logan Allen here against the Mariners. Again, not on a good offense. So he did well. 6.2 innings of 0 earned runs, 4 hits, 3 walks, and 6 Ks. And he earned a King Cole 35% CSW, matching exactly 33 over 93 with Zach Wheeler, who we're going to talk about in a moment. But first, with Allen, it's interesting. He has a low four-seamer attack angle. He has middling extension, middling IVB, and low 90s at velocity, though. So that doesn't really look like it's going to be a major whiff offering. He doesn't really do the Blake Snell blueprint. However, he is changing this year to introduce a cutter into the mix, and he's doing a great job with 60% CSW through 12 thrown yesterday. He gets the White Sox next, and that's cool. But then the Yankees are going to be more of a challenge next week. So I think that Logan Allen is still kind of a Toby. I'm a little intrigued because of that new cutter. And if he has like four-seamer cutter, changeup, slider all working, like that's actually not bad for a good defense behind him in Cleveland. So that's pretty nice. Cole Reagan's pitch, you might know him. He's amazing. And by the way, those two walks are both in the seventh inning. And that is a constant thing. I was actually saying that as, oh, no, that's fine. He's just, you just get pulled earlier, all that kind of stuff. And honestly, in this one, he shouldn't have been pulled because he didn't get the win, and I'm still upset about it. He was at 91 pitches. He could have gotten a double play and gotten out of that. I was terrified, and fortunately, those two runners on with one out in the seventh were not put to his end result. So the bullpen, even though they let him down the end, saved him in the seventh. Good to see that. He's dope and makes us feel dope. If you watch Cole Reagan's and you don't think like he's one of the best pitchers on the planet, I don't know what you're doing. Seriously, he's just absolutely bonkers. He had one batted ball above 95 miles per hour all game. One against the Orioles in 91 pitches. He is so stupid good. Nick Pivetta against the Athletics. 5 innings, 0 runs, 5 hits, 1 walk, and 3 strikeouts. It was against Oakland. And let's be honest, this was not a good start for Pivetta when it came to his ability. And yet, this was great because it was against Oakland. So you should be really happy that the volatile nature of Pivetta showed up in the negative way against Oakland. I know you wanted more, but really, this is a good thing. And you're lucky, and we're happy, and we move on. Christian Javier against the Jays got the win. 5 innings, 0 runs, 1 hit, 5 walks, 3 Ks. This is kind of the thing with Javier. He is always a low hit per 9 guy. And what I'm encouraged about this year is that he does have this changeup that is going to help him earn more strikes throughout the season. And also, hopefully the slider gets better, and hopefully the four-seamer earns more than 3 whiffs than it did here. So this was actually a down night, where his changeup went only 50% strikes. He had 1 over 25 whiffs on the slider, and I think it was 3 or something on the four-seamer. He got some whiffs on the changeup, too. That's kind of why you have 10 whiffs there. But he survived. And I think the major takeaway here from Javier is that he does not give in. He has a low hit per 9. He's going to have a super low mistake rate, one of the lowest ones. And because of that, with the changeup being the new addition, you're not going to see the blowups that you saw last year because he doesn't have to give in with the heater as much as he did before. I'm a huge, huge fan. I'm buying Christian Javier everywhere. Joe Ross against the Minnesota Twins. At first, I was like, Joe Ryan, 3.2 innings. Oh, right, Joe Ross, right, 3.2 innings. 73 pitches. He looks like his former, it looks like his brother, honestly, Tyson. 5 walks here. Not the thing you want to chase, Joe Ross. Luke Little open for Ben Brown, who's getting some attention here. 4 innings of 1 earned run, 3 hits, 1 walk, and 5 strikeouts across 52 pitches. That's really efficient for Ben Brown. 56% CSW on the curveball, which is so good. Knuckle curve. Is it a slider? Is it a knuckle curve? Doesn't matter. It's his breaking ball. But that's it. It's just 2 pitches, really. He had like 2 changeups as well, which he missed down into a lefty. Whatever. This was also rocky road in Wrigley. Yeah. Not really the best situation for the Rockies, or at least not the toughest matchup. So Ben Brown, is he going to get more opportunities here? He might. It's possible. Tyone's probably like a week away or 2 weeks away. So you have like 1 or 2 more chances for Ben Brown to be opened for. Obviously, it's better than Drew Smyly. Then when that happens, does he displace Javier Assad? I don't think so. It's possible. I don't think that's what's going to happen. Ben Brown, to me, is a two-pitch pitcher. And I'm really happy that he dominated in this one. But I'm not quite sold that he has the command to really maintain an efficient six innings. The four-seamer overall, by the way, PLV doesn't quite love it. There's a couple reasons why. One, the induced vertical break is 16, which is fine. 6.7 extension, which is fine. 96 miles per hour, which is good. But his height adjusted VAA, the attack angle, 0.6. Oh no, that is steep. That is not the overpowering four-seamer. And guess what? 3% swinging strike rate. He threw 59 of these four-seamers and got two whiffs on it. And I think that should tell you that this is not that bullying four-seamer like Jared Jones or something like that. So you really need to rely on this curveball then getting all of the strikes. And PLV hates it at 4.83. And why is that? Well, it's way out of the zone at times. Like really, really out of the zone. And 39% O-swing is okay. But there were some major mistakes on this. 66% strike rate because he just got all the other ones that were way out of the zone just landed in the zone. But only a 34% zone rate. Yeah, not ideal for Ben Brown. So I am not buying in on this. I think he's too far out from being fully stretched out. Is he even going to get those opportunities? And then just seeing the shape of that four-seamer, it is not the bullying four-seamer we want it to be, which you kind of need to have if you are a two-pitch pitcher. We're going to talk about everybody else. There aren't too many intriguing starts, I think, from yesterday. There is going to be a lot, of course, I'm going to ramble about. And we're going to get to all of that, of course, today's and or really tomorrow's starters after this break.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. And they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
When it comes to teaching kids and teens about money, practice makes perfect. That's where Greenlight comes in. With a debit card and money app of their own, kids learn to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest. Parents send instant money transfers, create custom chores, and automate allowance, while kids track their spending, set savings goals, and practice money skills they can use today and for life. Get 1 month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/podcast.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Ross Stripling went 7 innings and 1 earned run. 8 hits, 0 walks, 3 Ks against the Red Sox. 4 whiffs, though. And it's 4 whiffs. And it was just one of those good days where, like, he threw sinkers well enough that they found called strikes and gloves so that he got away with 1.5 ticks down on the heater. Like, I don't think that's a sustainable approach at all, Ross Stripling. I'm so sorry. He didn't get the win either, the 1 run in 7 innings because it is Oakland. You have Joe Musgrove redeeming himself with a win, 6 innings, 1 run, 5 hits, 1 walk, 7 Ks. Look, it was fine. He stole a tick down and he used his full repertoire. It was good enough against the Cardinals. We should feel good starting Joe Musgrove right now. Imagine the velocity will return. I don't know if the velocity is going to return for Zach Wheeler, though. That's a little scary. 6 innings, 1 run, 3 hits, 1 walk, 10 K, blah, blah, blah. Dominated the Reds as he should. Got that King Cole, as I mentioned before. 35% CSW with 17 whiffs. But Zach Wheeler was down to 93. And what? You're not supposed to be 93. You're supposed to be like 95, 96. That is a little concerning. He was notoriously a slow starter in previous years when it came to his velocity, but generally by like the second game of the year, you're back. It was 94 last time and now it's 93. Is there something going on here with Zach? I hope not. obviously the velocity doesn't make him a bad pitcher, right? He still dominates. It's just that normally is a sign of some sort of injury, and that would be really bad news. I don't want to suggest that. I don't want to, you know, speak that into existence, but we should just be aware that there is maybe something going on for Zach Wheeler right now. Just want to throw that out there. Don't do anything yet. Just two games, whatever. Maybe you could say there's also the rain delay or other stuff affecting this. I believe there's a rain delay here. I could be wrong. Maybe that messed them up. So we're not going to do anything rash yet. Just be aware of this. Aaron Civale against the Rangers really came through. Six innings, one earned run, four hits, two walks, eight Ks. He's really impressed me more so than I expected. Part of the reason why I was a little bit down on him entering the year was this opening schedule, Jays and Rangers, that made me like not really love him. But if I felt that the quality was so good, I would have just said, whatever, it doesn't matter. But I didn't really know if he was going to be able to really take that massive leap this year. Plus, he has not gone 150 innings or so. Like, it's always been about 120. There's some injury involved. This is great. And Eno would be so happy, because if you've heard of the conversations we've had on The Craft, which, by the way, you got to go listen to that. Go sub to the direct feed. If you want to get it constantly each week, it is so good. It is my favorite podcast. I'm serious. Sorry, Eric. But it is so fun. No, OTC, Eric Samolski, is the best thing ever. But anyway, this is high sinkers, and Eno loves them. And I've been a little more tepid on them, but I think he might be right. Like, every time we've been seeing high sinkers, those have been effective. He threw a ton of them here with the cutter also upstairs, which is a really nice play, actually, the cutter coming down and the sinker staying up more and being the other direction, and you don't know which way it's going to go when it's upstairs, which is pretty cool. And then you have, of course, the curveball down, and it's like, this works. You also have the sweeper, which wasn't, I don't know if it was as amazing yesterday, but Aaron Civale's looking pretty good for the Rays, and this was awesome to see. Frankie Montas is down like 2 to 3 ticks, and he survived at Philly yesterday for a win. Cool. I'm really happy. He had a really good splitter working. That's awesome. That's why you have 16 whiffs from Frankie Montas. 5.2 innings of one earned run. A Philly against the Phillies, which is close but no cigar of a quality start. Five hits, three walks, and five strikeouts. But I am not going to go for this for Frankie Montas. I feel like it's just too Toby-ish, really, for the most part. And also, the home field is too risky. Merrill Kelly did good things against the Yankees, and we should all be cool with that moving forward. Corbin Burns only... it wasn't very good. It was 5.2 innings of 200 runs, 9 hits, 0 walks, 3 Ks. You got that Philly as well there. 3 Ks, 9 hits. You're a little worried about it, but again, the delay really messed him up. It didn't mess up Reagan's because he's dope, but I'm going to write this one off here. Like, don't worry about it. You know what he's capable of last week, and that's more like Corbin Burns. Patrick Sandoval against the Marlins came through. 5.2 innings of 200 runs, 4 hits, 2 walks, and 7 Ks. A lot of Phillies. We haven't really seen the poor quality start stuff work. Tyler Glasnow gave you one of those, and you're totally fine with that. Weird to see the slider reduced to just 16% usage for Glasnow, but whatever. You got the win. You did all the stuff you want. But with Patrick Sandoval, he is a tick up on his fastball. His heater was around the edge. He didn't really make a ton of mistakes with it. He got changeups and sliders around enough. Like, this is the best version of Sandoval, and he took advantage of the start against the Marlins. That's nice. 18 whiffs, 32% CSW. So that's cool. If you want to play him as a streamer, I get it. I don't really think that this is all of a sudden Sandoval's year to just be the greatest thing ever. I just think this is more of a matchup focus thing, and he sometimes will have that kind of feel, and sometimes he won't. We won't go into Trevor Williams. We never want to go after Trevor Williams. He got a win, but do not buy it. Carlos Rodon is very interesting because it's against Arizona. 5.1 innings, 200 runs, 7 hits, 2 walks, and 3 Ks. And I got to tell you guys, I don't understand Carlos Rodon. I'm going to just openly admit this. I've tried in many ways to really sit down and grasp Rodon. And why in 2021 and 2022 was he just so demonstrably better than 2022, 2023? And I said, look, velocity, biggest thing, right? The ball jumps on you, 96 when he had those two starts, 2023. That makes all the sense. However, the pitch shape itself outside of the velocity just isn't quite elite. It just really isn't. It is a low attack angle. It is not the greatest IVB. It is not the greatest extension. It comes in and harder is more important, but we're seeing him do that harder here and have good locations, and it's just not as great. And I wonder, is it the something about the slider? The slider results were not really that different from last year, but the timing of them, something about Rodon made it so that you had a super low hit rate in both 2021, 2022, and just not in 2023, 2024. So what is that? Is it the Giants defense? Is it the White Sox schedule? Are those the things that actually were the difference in those years? Obviously, velocity was a major part of it in 2023. But I'm watching Rodon, and I'm just seeing someone that isn't, you know, he got the same number of whiffs, really. He was just allowing more ideal contact. Like, that's what it is. ICR rate on his four-seamer is the big difference. It was sub 40% comfortably from 2021, 2022. 2023, it was above 40%. 2024, so far, just terrible. So what is it? I don't know. I don't know. It's very strange to me. And I can't put my finger on it. And I just maybe think like he's just the Toby. Is that it? Is it like a win Toby? Maybe a possible Holly, I guess. I want somebody to sit down and really break down like the Pitchers player pages and be like, Nick, this is it about Rodon. And I feel like it's there. I just couldn't find it. It was very strange. Chris Paddock against the Brewers. 4 innings, 2 earned runs, 6 hits, 2 walks, 2 Ks. I'm not seeing anything that is that exceptional for Chris Paddock. The fastball is a little bit harder than it was last season, which is nice. It was at 94, but that's not really super exceptional. His attack angle is bad at 0.7. His IVB is 16.4, which is not amazing. Extension is good. It's at 7. And I think that is really the biggest thing that has made Paddock good over the years. He did get more IVB in 2022, but sticky stuff was a thing. So we're generally expecting everybody to have more IVB in 2022 because sticky stuff allows you to grip the ball more, which means you have a better grip on the Price is Right's wheel. And you can imagine as you do that, the better grip you get, the more spin you can get regardless of velocity, right? If you have more grip, you're going to be able to do that more. So velocity and grip essentially are the two things that affect spin. It's pretty pedestrian. The best thing though is that he is a high lock guy. 62% high lock again, 61% in 2022. That is going to allow him to get some whiffs, but it was a 9% in this one on that four seamer. So meanwhile, the changeup 3% and curveball is not a reliable pitch and never has been. So I'm pretty much out on Chris Paddock. AJ Puck, he was better this time, but he's a Toby. I mean, that's really it. His attack angle is not good. It's much worse than it was last year. And last year it was just completely elite. But now it's down to 0.8. Maybe it's a little bit better than it was last time, which was, I think, 0.6. So it's possible that he's made some adjustment between those two starts. But last year, I mean, in 2023, it was 1.4. So this is why this pitch isn't as good. He's getting more IVB, but it's 2 ticks down. I mean, it's still 14 IVB and has extension. So what I do like about this last start is that AJ Puck did locate better, right? His eye, that's a huge, huge thing for me, is locating those pitches upstairs is way, way much of an improvement. And that's awesome. However, I feel like it's still just not explosive enough. And AJ Puck is really just going to be a Toby, and that's fine. He really had one bad inning, which was his third one in this one. But just understand that and play the matchups and don't really chase that absurd ceiling that we thought he might carry. We have Zach Thompson, who's just not very good. And he does have a forkball, which is very fun, but I don't really want to go for that at all. He's also really down on his velocity. Cal Harrison went against the Dodgers, and yeah, he went against the Dodgers. He also didn't have his most precise four-seamer. He was missing up and glove side, if I'm remembering this correctly. No, up and arm side a ton, which isn't ideal, especially for a guy like Cal Harrison, who, to me, needs to be able to nail it glove side because you are going to be behind on your arm a ton. That's up and away, and that's what's going to happen as a lefty, right? Up and away from righties. And if you're able to go more glove side, that means you can adjust more into the zone, and that's good when that happens. Kyle Harrison, so this is Kyle Harrison here. He's a cherry bomb to me. And when he goes against good or bad offenses, has good matchups, you want to do it, but that's really it. Not really someone I have to roster in a 12-teamer to really take that next step and be more consistent. Chris Bassett against the Astros. 400 runs, 4.1 innings against the Astros. He still did good things on a sinker. It happens. We move on. Cal Quantrill, no, we're not going to do that. Rockies, and not something you want. And George Kirby against the Guardians. Oh boy, 8 whiffs, 22% CSW, 72 pitches as he went 3.2 innings, 8 earned runs, 10 hits, 0 walks, and 2 Ks. At least he didn't walk anybody, right? He was 1 to 2 ticks down in the fastball, which is a big deal. And it's possible that that was just from him laboring through this one a bit for 4 innings. I do want to mention, by the way, Carlos Rodon did ramp up in his start to 96 plus later on. Like, he did the normal Rodon thing of starting out slower and then getting better. And that's a good sign. But I'm still really weirded out by Carlos Rodon. This was just a weird game for George Kirby, though. I'm not really ready to say, like, oh no, he's injured and this is going to be bad. Like, no, I think this is just a strange, odd start, and you aren't going to do anything moving forward to adjust for that. All right, looking at today's games and tomorrow's games, today's games, actually, you guys don't need that because you probably are listening to this and you already have your locked lineups, and that's pretty much how I'm going to do this moving forward. It's just going to be tomorrow's games. So tomorrow, we have Spencer Strider, Tarek Skubal, Bobby Miller, Freddy Peralta, Grayson Rodriguez, Aaron Nola. All those are aces going to ace in that auto start tier. Also, the end of auto start is Cutter Crawford, Logan Gilbert, and Dylan Cease. Crawford gets the Angels, Gilbert gets at Milwaukee, and Cease gets at San Francisco. So Gilbert has the best matchup. Gilbert is in Milwaukee, which is a little tough, so that's why he's underneath Crawford. And both of those two guys, to me, are more consistent than Dylan Cease. Thus, I have him at the bottom of this. But honestly, you're just starting all three of those. Jared Jones is leading off the probable start tier. I actually almost put him in the top one because, come on, you have Jared Jones. I don't care if it's Baltimore. You're doing this. This is the most fun. But fine. You have Brady Singer against the White Sox. I might be convinced that he's actually better with that four-seamer against lefties. Talking to Eno, I might be swayed by that if he actually is a command guy and really does a good job of locating that four-seamer, because he does a really good job against righties, Brady Singer. Sinker, slider, it works really well. And this is the White Sox, so clearly you're doing that. Hunter Green gets the Mets in Cincy, and I don't really want to do it, but I also recognize that you're going to get strikeouts here. The Mets aren't that good, but it's in Cincy, and there's a home run problem there. And Lonzo could absolutely just crush that. Marcus Stroman against the Jays. It's fine. I think that the Jays aren't this absurd you have to avoid team, and Stroman can go 6 innings. That's okay. And JB Sears at Detroit. He's our stream pick of the day. JB Sears could be a solid play here with a really bad lineup and amazing fastball. The Guardians didn't fall prey to it, but they are also a contact-heavy team. They don't strike out, while the Tigers are the opposite. So I'm okay going with JP Sears as a probable start as our stream pick of the day. A questionable start, you have Hicks against the Padres. I just don't think he throws enough strikes with secondaries yet. Hunter Brown gets the Rangers, but I think he's moving in the right direction, but it's the Rangers, and you probably want to avoid that. Eric Fede against the Royals. The Royals are kind of good-ish, and Fede is a command guy, and that could go either way, but just not a good win chance. So I feel like Fede's not going to be in the probable start tier unless it's like a definitive good matchup. Otherwise, he's going to be a lot of questionables here. Yusei Kikuchi against the Yankees. The Yankees are a solid offense, and Kikuchi's command is not quite where we want to be yet. And Griffin Canning against the Red Sox. Same kind of idea. I mean, he was down in his velocity last time with the four-seamer, and throwing it too much. He should be a little bit better with it. The Red Sox are at least are not in Fenway. This is in LA, which is better for Canning. Do not start here. It's Littell in Coors. So just don't do that. Cody Bradford is a decent option sometimes, but it's the Astros. We're not doing it. Jose Quintana goes to Cincy. Unfortunately, he doesn't get the Tigers like he did before the rainouts. Moved him to Cincy, which is rough. Patrick Corbin, Kyle Hendricks, Austin Gomber, Tommy Henry. Absolutely not. That is it for today. I hope to see you on Saturday. And if you made it this far, really, thank you so much for rating and reviewing the Plus Pitch podcast on Apple Podcasts. It does so much for us, getting those reviews and ratings. And if you've listened to us for a while, it takes 2 seconds and it does a ton to help us out. So thank you so much for all of that. That is it for today. My name is Nick Pollock, and may your BABIPs be low and your strikeouts high.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed, also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Hey, parents. Greenlight is here to take one big thing off your to-do list, teaching your kids about money. With a Greenlight debit card and money app of their own, kids and teens learn to earn, save, and invest. You can send money instantly, set flexible controls, and get real-time notifications of your kids' money activity. Set up chores and put allowance on autopilot to reward them for their hard work. Then learn about the world of money together. Get 1 month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/podcast.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.